Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, Jaguars Thursday after the Gus Bradley radio show. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, the Jaguars, and the New England Patriots. Coming up 1 o'clock Sunday at Gillette Stadium.
Patriots.
The Pats. They won the Super Bowl. You guys might have heard about them. They had a big offseason, too.
Certainly heard about them, and I certainly heard a little scuttlebutt this week that Tony Baselli did not exactly ingratiate himself to the Patriots fans or the Patriots nation.
Yeah. Stirring it up.
You know, so I get this.
Tell me what happened, because I heard something, but I didn't know exactly what it happened. Was.
WEEI Radio,
so WEEI Radio, I get a...
That's Boston. Big station in Boston.
Huge. Yes. Oh, yeah. Huge sports station. So I get a something on Twitter, hey, will you come on with us? Direct message, whatever. And I said, sure. I think it was Monday morning. Monday morning. And I said, no problem. They said, we want to talk about the Jags-Patriots game. I said, okay. So get on. First question. They want to talk about Deflategate. And how I feel about the legacy of the Patriots' organization, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick.
Uh-oh.
And so I basically said, the people there are very sensitive. And so I basically said, listen, Tom was cleared. And, you know, it was a big deal, but there's nothing there. I said, I just have a hard time believing that every quarterback in this league doesn't know the pressure of the footballs and can't tell the difference. I said, I'm not saying he did it. And I said, I think this would have been not a big deal if he just came out afterwards and said, hey, listen, my bad. They obviously went too far. Didn't mean to. It was a mistake, and it won't happen again. I said, I don't think it was a big deal. But with that said, Tom Brady is one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, and it doesn't change anything I feel about Tom Brady and his legacy. So then they go about, what about the Patriots? Since one of the best organizations in the last 20 years, and Bill Belichick's a great coach. I said, but people get leery and worried because they have a history of getting in trouble. And I said, listen, all 32 teams push the envelope as far as they can. I said, I just think the Patriots go probably a little bit further. And I said, and there's a history of that. They got, they got busted for filming the walkthrough. And they said, well, they didn't film it. They just had a spot. I said, my mistake.
They interrupted you during your
answer. They didn't film it. They just had a person there watching. I said, my mistake. They got caught for spying on a practice before the Super Bowl, and they got caught filming.
Signals.
Signals, which is against the rules. And then they started talking about Brunell. Well, what do you think about what Brunell said about it? I said,
They played the clip of him crying on TV.
And they said he was crying. I said, I don't think he was crying. Oh, he was crying. And they just went on and on. And I was like, and they asked like one question about the game. And so I get off. And from that point on, my Twitter, I got called every name in the book. And you know what Patriot fans are like? And a lot of Patriot fans says, hey, listen, great interview. Don't listen to all these idiots. But the Patriot fans that were very mean-spirited, they're like teenagers. And if you have a teenager, and I have three of them, soon to be four, and it's when you're a teenager, it's never your fault. Everybody else is wrong, because all the tweets I got is that I got a bunch of tweets saying it's not illegal to film coaches' signals, and I'm like, well, then why did they get punished? I mean, isn't that against the rules, Jeff? I don't think you're allowed to.
It is against the rules.
Okay, yeah, I thought so, and. We were cleared of any spying. I said, I don't think so. And so this, all these long tweets, how they did nothing wrong and how everyone's out to get them. And finally,
Rick Blute tweeting you too?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, wow.
What I finally said? I said, you know what? You guys are right. Everybody else is wrong. Everyone hates you. Everyone is out to get you, and the NFL punished you for no reason. Which just got him even more upset. Yeah,
over and over and over.
Oh, my gosh. And so they're like teenagers. So I got called a lot of different names, and which it's not the first time.
It's a shame that you don't handle that very well.
I thought it was I got to be honest with you, Jeff. I thought I showed great restraint because what I wanted to say on Twitter, I didn't. Because I'm like, if I go this far.
They're waiting on you. They know where you're going to be at 1 o'clock on Sunday.
No, not that. Tell them to all come. I mean, these knuckleheads. I mean, one idiot. Well, there's one idiot who said, I served this country for 4 years to defend your lies. And so I tweeted back. I said, I appreciate your service. Which got him more mad. And he kept on going. And I said, listen, man. I said, I don't know what you serving in the military has anything to do with the Pats cheating.
I don't think anything.
Nothing. And then the best part was all the Jaguar fans started coming to my defense, and guys were in the military ripping this guy for talking about the military. It was an interesting day on Monday.
Yeah, good.
See what you miss on Twitter? You're not on there all the time.
No, I'm
not even on it that much. But my phone would be
choice.
It was going crazy.
That's when you just want to turn the app.
Oh gosh, I was like, please leave me alone. But I'll tell you this. Those guys at the morning show, I don't even know what the name of the morning show is up there, they ambushed me.
Oh, they had you. They had you set up. Yeah.
Oh, they set me up,
no
which
doubt.
I love. I mean, you know me. I'm like, bring it. Let's do this again. Because I have no problem.
They're going to call you on Monday. So let's talk about the game, Tony.
No, I'd love to. God, I'd love to go beat these guys.
Yeah, beat them and then go talk about the game on
Monday.
That's
what I'm talking
about. I would love to beat these guys. Listen, it's a complete lot. But I was thinking about this game. And, Jeff, you were around 96. You know, they're 13.5-point dogs up there, the line is. I mean, when we went to Denver in 96, we were 15.5-point dogs. I mean, so no one thought we were going to win.
Nobody.
Nobody.
The Denver Broncos that year were just unbelievable. They were resting their team the last couple games of the season, if I remember correctly.
They were the best team in football by far. Yeah. It wasn't even close. We barely got in the playoffs. So all week I've been asked, do the Jags have a chance to win? I said, yeah. I mean, is anyone going to think they're going to win? No. But do they have a chance? You step on the field on Sunday in the NFL, you got a shot. Mm-hmm. And you go out and play. And I like what Gus said, you know, on the show. You go play. Go do what you do. Be who you are. Go play fast and hard and see what happens.
Somehow, somebody at some point will figure out how to slow down Tom Brady in this offense, right?
I don't think so. It's not a matter – well – you can't stop him.
No, you're
never going to stop him. You just have to find a way to limit his opportunities, and whether that's possessing the ball on offense or taking the ball away or finding a way to get a couple hits on him where he makes a couple bad decisions. Right. I mean, you're still not going to stop him. You just don't stop a great player like him.
The only way you limit them from scoring. I mean, I think the Jags offense is we have to score more than 31 this week to win. I mean, that's your mentality going into this game offensively. Now, they'll be held under that sometimes during this year because they're going to have games where they turn the ball over. I mean, Tom has bad games. I mean, last year, week four against Kansas City, they wanted to run him out of the league and said he couldn't play football anymore because he got hit a couple times and fumbled. And, you know, he's human. If you hit him early, he doesn't like it. And so if you can find a way to hit him, you know, and get him to make some rush decisions, he'll turn the ball over, not very much, but, you know, what you hope when you go into that this is the game, that this one of the games, because probably going to happen once or twice, maybe three, that he has an off day and throws it to the wrong guy, or there's fumbles by Deion Lewis, who fumbled once last week.
That's Buffalo.
And so you hope that you can take advantage of those opportunities. And if you do that, that's how you beat this team.
And here's the crazy thing. You know, if you were playing this offense with probably any other quarterback with the weapons, you could probably say and feel comfortable that we're going to blitz you, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Because, I mean, if you look at them and evaluated them individually, the one that clearly is superior is Rob Gronkowski.
Maybe the best tight end to ever play the game.
Maybe.
I mean, he's that good.
I mean, he's tremendous. Now, Julian Edelman, Danny Amendola, Deion Lewis, the other guys, if you were playing them against any other quarterback, Andrew Luck or, you know, whoever, Pickett, you know, Alex Smith, I mean, any good quarterback around the league, you'd feel like you could play a man and maybe send an extra blitzer to maybe create some problems. But you can't do it when you're facing Tom Brady. He's that good. There's only probably two quarterbacks that I have ever watched in the last 10 years and maybe I'm wrong with this, but in the last 10 years, the two quarterbacks that you just absolutely have to be simple with, and as far as not bringing extra pressure, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. And I would put Tom Brady ahead of Peyton Manning because Peyton Manning has made some poor decisions under pressure to where he's just kind of chucking the ball out.
Yeah.
Tom Brady doesn't do that. And that's the challenge of this game. And it's probably the most one-player slanted team that there is in the National Football League because that's how good Tom Brady is.
Well, it's really two on offense. It's him and Gronk. Because what Gronk does is he gives you matchup problems that you – I mean, who do you cover him with?
Yeah, how do you cover Gronk?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if I did, I'd be a defensive coordinator somewhere because no one else has figured it out. I mean, my only thing is, I mean – so you say, okay, let's put a guy up in his face and get physical with him, put a safety over the top, but then you're deficient somewhere else and Tom's going to find it. And if you put a linebacker on, play physical, he's athletic enough. And
fast enough.
And not just fast enough, but he's a gifted enough route runner, he'll make you look stupid. Corners aren't big enough. You know, really, there's – you know, you have to – you know, you got to find a strong safety like a Cam Chancellor, and there's not many of those around that can get up there. And but then you have to – bastardize your defense because it forces you to do things that you don't usually do. And so he's a nightmare. He's a very difficult player. That's why he has four touchdowns in two games, by the way, and yeah, he dropped one last week.
Did you have a chance to read Bill Belichick's transcript or listen to his press conference this week?
No, I've not yet.
What's amazing, Bill Belichick never – I mean, when you ask him about typically –
no, he doesn't like talking about players.
No.
Well, he was open this week.
Because typically, for most people that aren't that familiar with Bill Belichick and some of his press conference, when he gets asked specifically about a player, most of the time his answer is all about team. Well, he's like everybody else and that we have to do this, we have to do that.
Or he won't even answer the question. He'll start talking about something else.
We're on to doing – or on to Jacksonville.
Exactly. Yeah. But this week he was asked specifically about Rob Gronkowski. And he just starts lavishing or praising Rob Gronkowski, what a great leader he is, everything that we've ever asked him to do. He's given 100% of his effort and focus on that. You know, we rarely had a player like this, and he starts comparing him to, you know, to Mark Bavaro, who is one of the giant greats and one of the great all-time tight ends that's ever played the game. I mean, you just don't see Bill Belichick do that with people. And even in the same breath, I guess it was like that same press conference or the next press conference that he's asked about Tom Brady. And Tom Brady, if he throws one touchdown pass, he has 400 for his career.
Right.
And that answer immediately goes to, well, you know, this is about team. Yeah. And he doesn't start putting all this praise on Tom Brady. But it's unique in that this is the first player – that I can remember or recall that Bill Belichick actually went out of his way to speak highly of. Interesting.
It is, yeah. And I think just throughout the week, just watching some of the press conference stuff, in general, there's been a little more of that overall from him for some reason this week. And I don't know if even talking
good,
to
I hope
England
it's,
folks,
I hope it's a, you know what, I hope it's a sign that they're not ready and they get whipped. That.
That's a good idea.
Listen, I think it's – what a great opportunity for this team. I mean, all week I've been – people are saying, man, after last week's game, I wish we weren't playing the Patriots because we'd be such a down – and I'm just a little bit the opposite. I'm like, what a great opportunity. I mean, you go up there, no one thinks you're going to win.
Nope.
No, I mean, go play. Go have fun. Let it go because guess what? Everyone thinks you're going to lose. Go out there and compete your rear end off. Go make a play or two and see what happens. I think it's a great opportunity for this ball club.
The Jags are back at Everbank Field Sunday, October 18th against the Houston Texans. Come watch Blake Bortles and the Jags offense dominate J.J. Watt. Great seats were just made available. Visit jaguars.com/tickets. When we return, we'll talk Jags offense against the Patriots. Run the ball might be the key. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Get a safe, free ride to Jags games from local bars and restaurants with a Big Cat Convoy. Provides you with a game ticket and a free ride direct to the game and back. Cruise over in style and avoid parking fees. And get your tickets now at jaguars.com/convoy. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Vaselli, Jaguars Thursday. What you got, Tony?
So... the one of my Patriot followers.
Oh, yeah.
Sent me a text. Or I guess it's the Boston.com. I don't know what that is. But a guy named Eric Wilbur wrote an article, and the headline of the article is "The Jaguars Are Coming and Nobody Gives a Damn."
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, come on. That's a little strong, isn't it? My guess is that about 70,000 people in that stadium will care.
Yes. That's the beauty. A lot of people have, and to me, that's almost like a college mentality. I mean, look, I hate to say this, but it's not like this is, you know, Alabama versus Troy.
Louisiana Monroe this week.
No.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
It's not what it is, you know, so.
Grown men on both sides.
I'm looking forward to it.
You know, I can't wait.
We made the comment, I think it was last week or earlier this week, that look, you know, they have a salary cap. You know, they pay their players. And this team has a salary cap, and they're paying their players too. I mean, it's not like all of a sudden somebody's just going to show up and then there goes the motor grader and that's it. That's not the way it works.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to get the Jaguar Twitter people to go after this guy, because some of the things he says in here, holy cow. Some cheap shots.
We'll tweet that out.
On the Jaguars.
Jacksonville's far away the NFL's stain in the annals of what the blank were we thinking as far as the NFL picking Jacksonville.
Wow. We'll tweet that out here in a little while. Get them going. How about that?
Oh, it's going to get some Jaguar fans fired up, as it should.
It should. They take a lot of crap from a lot of different places.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
Jaguars ought to be able to run the ball this week, right?
Well, you hope so. You know, and I think one of the problems that a lot of teams run into when you face the New England Patriots is that they're scoring so many points and that the need to keep up. You know, and I think even the Jaguars were a little guilty of that in the first week against Carolina Panthers when it got to be an 8-possession game, and all of a sudden you start throwing the ball maybe just a little bit more.
Yeah, sure.
And it's hard. I mean, it is hard. It's hard to have patience to be able to stick with what you want to do against the Patriots if all of a sudden it turns into a 2-possession game, because your first thought is that 2-possession game might turn into a 3-possession game if we don't score now. And then teams get impatient, you know, when they play the Patriots. And it's hard. I mean, because they have the ability to score so many points in so many different ways. I mean, they're averaging 34 points a game. 34 points a game, and essentially there was about a 12-minute stretch in that Buffalo game that they didn't do anything. I mean, they didn't score any points. They hardly got first downs. They turned the ball over on downs. So if they were operating for the entire game, they might have scored 50. I mean, that's the mindset that some people have when you go to face them. Hey, look, they can hang 50 on us. We got to score.
Yeah, but I think that's the danger you get into. You got to just go be who you are. And I think they can run the ball against this defense. And I think they need to line up and go, you know, be physical and control the clock and not out of, like, fear of Tom Brady being on the field, but just saying, listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to run it. We're going to be physical. We're going to play action. We're going to take some shots down the field. And I think there's opportunities because, listen, they're not great. I mean, they're one of the worst defenses statistically in the NFL right now.
Yeah, and personnel-wise, they've got a few guys that are really good.
Okay, listen, I think their best player on defense is Jamie Collins.
Yes.
He's their best player.
He's a fantastic player.
I know Chandler Jones, I mean, whatever. He does about one move, and if you stop that, he's got nothing.
And yeah, but he's a good player, Tony.
I'm telling you, Jeff, if Sam Young studies the film, which I'm sure he is, and understands what Chandler Jones wants to do, which is one arm you and use his length,
mm-hmm.
and he just says, I'm not going to let you do that, and it's very easy to stop, in my opinion, he'll be fine. He will be fine. And the other thing you want to do to Chandler Jones, because he doesn't want to get physical at all.
No.
You go hit him in the mouth the first 10 plays and cut him about 3 of those plays and say, this is what it's going to be like all day.
It'll slow him down.
It'll slow him down. But in the secondary, outside of Devin McCourty, They're very average.
I like Malcolm Butler.
No, he's good. But come on.
What was he last year at this time?
I mean, nothing. He made an interception in the end zone. Let's not anoint this guy. He's going to the Hall of Fame.
Watching him, though, a little on film, is man coverage, he is very good. The first game
against Pittsburgh. The Bills scored 32 points.
Yeah, but it was all broken plays, Tony.
I understand that because their quarterback can't sit in the pocket and read Dr. Seuss.
It was all broken plays. And that Tyrod Taylor, I mean, that's going to be the hard part for a lot of teams that face the Buffalo Bills is that, you know, these wide receivers in Buffalo, they run a route, and they know that they've got a quarterback.
He doesn't read defenses. If the first guy's not open.
He does not read. Then all of a sudden they just start doing whatever they want.
It's like old Johnny Manziel.
It's like backyard football. It is.
Him and Johnny spend about as much time reading as my, six-year-old does.
But the New England Patriots – I think outside of those three players that I mentioned, Gus, Dante Hightower, Chandler Jones, and Jamie Collins, I think Ninkovich
is a hard worker.
Plays hard.
He's not. You could tell that years are adding up. Yeah, a couple years ago, he was much
better. He was a fantastic player.
He was a very good player.
Gerard Mayo, he's still okay. No. He's okay. But the interior, they miss Vince Wilfork.
You can run against him. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. But no, the problem is can you still run the ball if you're worried about points?
If you're down 7-0 all of a sudden, hey.
Yeah, you have to.
That's you got
to
run, right? You got to stick with it.
You got to stick with it.
You're down 14-0.
But this team also showed that they're not afraid to take some shots. And I think Marquise Lee has a chance to have a big week. If he can build what he did last week and at the speed he was playing, the Bills ran by these guys a couple times outside.
And Tyrod Taylor didn't even have his eyes.
I mean, they ran by him
in that direction.
I mean, Marquise can run by these guys. I'm not saying we're winning the game, but I think I've said it all week. This is going to be a much closer game than anyone thinks.
Let me ask you this: everybody always says that Bill Belichick has the ability to show things to a young quarterback that he hasn't seen in the league before. What might those things be? Like a scheme or a look?
Here's the hardest thing that a young quarterback has to face. When they're playing Bill Belichick, you're down by 20.
Okay.
Well, right. Not only that, but they're in the secondary. What Bill's going to do,
difference.
Though,
okay.
They're going to go, they're going to jump on their front. It's going to be everything from a four-man front to a three-man front, and then they're going to go down to a five-man front with the bear covering everyone up. They're going to run it all. The other thing they're going to do, they're going to start in two high safety. They're going to make it look like cover two, and they do run cover two. And at the snap, they're going to invert to a cover three and run that safety in the middle of the field that act as a robber, tracking the quarterback's eyes, trying to make a play.
Yeah, the biggest thing
they're
going to
give him a lot of different looks.
Is you're down by points, and all of a sudden, then the Patriots' defense or their defense historic now all of a sudden they can start bringing blitz, right?
And they're going to bring the double. They're going to bring two A gap, which is two backers walked up right on either side of the center, and they're going to come. Sometimes they're going to one's going to come, the other's going to drop out. You know, they're going to show you everything, and they're going to try to confuse Blake Bortles because defensively, because they're not great personnel-wise, but Bill Belichick's a very good coach. They're going to try to sell you something pre-snap of what they're going to be. And if you buy it, 50% of the time you're going to be wrong. And so you have to hang in there and pick up your cues and pick up the keys that you're taught during the week of what they're doing and where guys are alignment and what they like to do in certain situations. And make sure you keep on reading that thing through the snap if it's a pass play because they're going to give you a bunch of different looks. Now, listen, if you do it, there's holes. Steelers went up and down against this team. Now, the Steelers have really good personnel.
Yeah, they do.
But they did it without Le'Veon Bell, and it would have been a much even better game if Todd Haley didn't try to get too cute.
That reverse? But you remember that play?
I do remember
that. That might have been the worst call
in the history of war calls
that I have seen all year long. This was the Thursday night game.
Yes,
it was. And a lot of people that didn't watch it, the Pittsburgh Steelers
are marching. Okay? No answer.
They got the drum leader up in front, literally with the staff going like this, up in front of the Pittsburgh Steelers offense. They're going down the field and doing anything they wanted to do, passing.
Let's do a trick play here.
And he throws the trick play out, and they lose like 10 or 12 yards.
And then they get a holding.
And then
now it's third and 50.
Forget it. And I'm sitting there going, when the reverse play ran and they handed off, before the play even showed that it was going to be a huge negative play, I was sitting there going,
what are you doing?
Why? Why are you doing that, Todd Haley? You don't need to. I mean, it's
– don't overthink it, right?
Oh,
That, keep it simple, oh, stupid. Yeah.
Especially against this team, right?
And I'm sitting there, and I was when that happened, I remember I was going, get a camera shot of Mike Tomlin. Get a camera shot of Mike Tomlin because I want to see his reaction. And I guarantee you Mike Tomlin at some point went in his headset and said, are you kidding me?
No, I think he probably said it a little more graphic.
Are you kidding me? Really, Todd? Are you seriously? We're going to run a reverse when we're killing them? They didn't show it.
No reverses this week, maybe, right?
No. Run whatever you want.
See what works, I guess.
If you're marching up and down the field?
No.
Don't run that play.
Yeah. It'll be interesting.
It worked last week. Marquise Lee had a nice gain on the reverse.
I might be crazy, but I just think if Blake will hang in there and keep his composure and build on what he did last week, I think we're going to score points against this defense. I just think we're going to score points.
I agree. I think this is
going to
be a good football
game. I think T.J. Yeldon's having a good game.
I'm not saying they're going to win, but I think this is going to be a good football game.
Up and down the field. High scoring, huh? Sounds like.
Very well could be. Very well could be. And, you know, the cool thing for the Jaguars is that it's not like it's a familiar opponent. I mean, you haven't played the Patriots ever. I'm talking about Gus Bradley, Dave Caldwell.
2012 was the last time.
Okay, so it's been a number of years ago. But you run essentially the offense that the Seattle Seahawks run. And so you have
defense.
Yeah, defense. So you have some film that you can evaluate to get an idea or an understanding of what they may try to do. So I think there's a little familiarity with when it comes with that. And Gus Bradley has faced the New England Patriots, I think, going all the way back to 2012, and the Seattle Seahawks won that game.
Yeah.
You know, so that's good. And then you got two coaches on the offensive staff, faced them the last two, and they beat them.
Yeah.
Now, the one win that they got was the last game Tom Brady came in and made a cameo appearance, and then Jimmy Garoppolo but at least you have a little bit of exposure to them.
A clear bag policy at Everbank Field when the Jags are home against the Texans. The Jags and Daly's have teamed up to provide an NFL-approved clear plastic tote bag available with a charitable donation benefiting the Tony Boselli Foundation. Your mic's off. Visit jaguars.com/all clear. We'll come back. Look at the injury. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Express, continues right now.
Republic Services is the leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. How about a little trivia, guys?
Bring it on.
Well, not trivia. A little tidbit, I guess, is the better way to say it.
What do you got?
There is a Gronkowski connection in Jacksonville.
Okay. What might that be?
Well, there was one.
How so?
His brother, Gordon Gronkowski, played baseball at JU.
Okay.
2006, he was drafted in the 49th round. That's the next to last round by the Angels. What was
JP bonus, you reckon?
It was probably a fare to get to wherever he was going.
Bus fare and a cheeseburger?
That's probably about it. Years in organized ball and then a handful of seasons in independent baseball as a first baseman. 6'6", 250 pounds.
About the same size.
About the same size.
As Gronk.
But played here at JU. Yeah, 06.
I'm sorry to laugh.
Tony.
Did you see?
Tony's in a fight. Twitter fight.
The Jag fans are the best. I mean, I don't care. They're the greatest. Someone posted a picture of what Eric Wilbur looks like.
That's the writer for the Boston.com article. Well, that's kind of mean spirited.
He looks like
Tony.
JP.
Yeah, what are you trying to say, man?
He looks like a poorly aging JP.
So that's me in 10 years, is what you're saying. Thanks, Tony.
I just hope you don't own a jacket like that, JP.
Let me see that again. Let me see. What was it?
This is bad radio, but it's really cracking me up.
You got to retweet.
Oh, I will.
That.
Oh, well.
I like it.
It'll be interesting. Yeah, Boston.com. Check it out. Click on the sports link, and you'll find it's the first article on there. And we just tweeted it out as well. Let's look at the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. Toby Gerhart practiced full today. That's good news coming off the abdominal strain. Might help the run game this week. Marquise Lee, full. He was limited yesterday as a precaution. Alan Hearns, limited with a thigh. Luke Jokel, limited with a sprained ankle. And, of course, Marks and Thomas limited still with the knee and the broken hand, respectively. And they'll reevaluate Julius next week. Did not practice today. Andre Branch, of course, Cyprian still out, Gratz still out, Linder out after yesterday's incident, and Denard Robinson still out as well.
You know, the one thing I got to jump in here on is that last week you had Gratz get hurt in practice, and then this week Brandon Linder in practice.
That's right.
You know, and it's not like they practice hard, and some people are probably going, oh, gosh, they got to stop practicing so hard. No.
We've already done that.
The CBA prohibits you from doing certain things in practice. So, I mean, it's not like practice is the reason why. I mean, it happens. But it's unfortunate that you have lost essentially two starters in practices, one in each of the last 2 weeks. I mean, that's, you know, and your best offensive lineman.
Yeah.
I mean, that's concerning.
This week it concerns me more that you're going to be, again, thin in the secondary because they're going to get in empty personnel, which is no backs, and they're going to spread you out, and you better cover this week.
And Deion Lewis, you know, I know that not a lot of people have talked about Deion Lewis.
He can play.
He's
the running back.
He is not a big guy, but he can fly. And one of the most impressive plays – was against the Buffalo Bills. They split him out wide to the left. The linebacker went out to cover him in a one-on-one situation, and basically they ran a go route with him. And Tom Brady dropped it in there. And Deion Lewis looked like a wide receiver making the catch. I mean, he was smooth. Catches the ball, ends up getting pushed out of bounds, but it was like, you know, I don't know, 40-yard gain or whatever it was. You know, kind of reminds me of going back to Danny Woodhead. But this is different in that Deion Lewis has speed, top-end speed.
Oh, and how about the fact that, Jeff, he's 5'8", 195?
He's got some size, too, now.
But he runs like he's 225. Yeah, I mean, breaking tackles, spinning.
His moves, when he's got cuts, he literally – you know how T.J. Yeldon's got those cuts where ankle-breaking cuts to where all of a sudden he makes a cut and he's from here and then he's 3 yards over on this side over here? Deion Lewis has the ability to do some of those things.
He is. He's not very big, but he makes people miss, and he breaks tackles somehow.
And the big back that they have.
LeGarrette Blount. Yes.
Two carries in two games. Two carries.
I wouldn't give it to him either if I had Deion Lewis running the way
he is. That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's, you know, and here's a guy that I'm sure that come, you know, November, December, when it gets cold weather, et cetera,
he may be a factor at some point.
But they're not even putting LeGarrette Blount out on the field, but for two carries because they've feel so strongly about Deion Lewis.
Well, they're not running the ball all that much anyway. I mean, you throw it 59 times.
No, right? I mean, yes, but at the same time, I mean.
When you run, it's effective.
If you do run it, I mean, Deion Lewis, he is a heck of a player now.
Okay, last Sunday on the Publix Tailgate Show, a segment we call Shine On. Each of you guys argued your side of the ball and why it would shine against the Miami Dolphins. Let's take a listen.
I think this is a tough matchup. If they're going to shine this week, they have to make the Miami Dolphins one-dimensional. They love spreading the field with spread formations and throw the short passing game. If they're going to be able to have success, they've got to stop the running game with Lamar Miller and the read option of Ryan Tannehill.
If the Jaguars are going to shine on offense this week, the receivers have to have a better day. They have to win against man coverage and give Blake Bortles somewhere to go with the ball, and hopefully Blake hits them. If they do that, they can win this ball game. I got to say I won. I got to say I won for two reasons. We were both right.
Yeah, you were, actually.
We were both right.
Yeah.
But I stayed in within the allotted time. And I didn't break the rules like Jeff did. He does it every week, and I'm getting tired of it. He cheats.
I'm not going to argue with that. But, you know, to reemphasize my point there.
Yes.
They held the Miami Dolphins to 2.6 yards per rush. And more importantly, they held the Dolphins running backs to like 1.6 yards per carry.
We already told you were right.
Outstanding.
I mean, how many times do you want us to say you're right? Well, do you want me to start mentioning Allen Robinson's stats now? And
No.
Just give me one more. Touchdowns.
You're right.
Thank you.
But I was too. And I stayed with the time. Winner.
You were.
Yeah.
Allen Robinson was
great.
Was
day. Good.
Was fantastic.
Great day. And a great day for the Jags D, too, no doubt.
It was a great day. And the best part was just for the fans, you know.
Thank goodness. Huh?
I'd like to say be selfish and say, you know, and it was great for us in the booth because it was fantastic. That was a fun game to call, and I said it kind of towards the end of the game when it was still tied up. And I said, look, this is a fantastic game. whatever this thing turns out to be, this has been a tremendous football game, and it was a tremendous football game, but the fan base needed a win so bad. And most importantly, because this team hasn't had a win in September, going all the way back to when, 2011, 2012, whenever it was, have not had a win in the Gus Bradley, Dave Caldwell era before week six, and this team is getting ready to go on the road and have only one home game in the next 8 weeks.
And we're in first place in the AFC South.
It's a beautiful thing.
That's pretty awesome. Pretty good day all around. And that game, though, is like a lot of games in the league are supposed to be, right? It's tight, then sometimes the defenses take over. You just find a way at the end to get a win.
And the other thing that was encouraging is that Jared Odrick got a sack. So if Jared Odrick keeps up this pace, okay, that's one sack per two games. That'll put him at 8.
And you win.
Okay, and then I win the dinner bet with Tony.
That's true. That's the most important thing.
And I'll be happy if he keeps on playing
absolutely.
Like that.
Be happy.
I'll be happy to buy dinner.
He had a really strong game, and I will say that he is capable of better.
You know, really?
Yes. He is capable of better. One thing that Jared Odrick does is that a lot of times he starts his pass rush and then he starts thinking about batting balls. And so he kind of stops.
He gets
pass
too
rushing.
High too quick.
He gets too high too quick because he's thinking, okay, the ball's coming out, let me become a volleyball player at the net. And I think the people or the guys that are the best at batting passes, like a J.J. Watt, is that it's a reactionary thing. You're rushing the passer, then you start to see the motion. You're just flicking an arm up real quick, and Jared's got the size to do that where he doesn't need to jump up and try to be a volleyball player. So I think he's capable of more. He had a really nice game, a strong game, but I think that that's not even his best.
That's good news.
You're smirking over there.
That's
Joe.
Good news.
Tell me
Joe's
why.
Happy.
What?
No, I'm just – JP, you didn't get to see this because you're in the HennanyAutos.com studio.
Okay, Joe, yeah.
But have you seen on the scoreboard –
his crazy
Jared
eyes?
And his crazy
it's
eyes.
The best.
Asking people to
oh,
start
yeah.
getting loud.
It's the best.
That's insane.
He does have crazy eyes on that big on the big giant boards now.
Yeah.
That's cool. Let me say this too. I don't know exactly who, and maybe you guys can say, but the Jaguars production, some of the things that they're putting up on the video boards that they're shooting, and what is it, Joe? It's 8K or whatever it is.
Yeah, 8K.
Some
yeah.
of the stuff that they're putting up there on the big boards is
okay,
tremendous.
It actually fits the entire
okay,
board.
Okay,
yeah.
hold on. I agree with everything you just said there.
Yeah.
But what the heck is 8K? I mean,
more than 7K.
Okay, yeah. okay. What is the K? Because none of us listening have any
K
idea what 8K
thousand.
Is.
I think the newest technology on TVs at home is 4K. Is the newest HD technology.
Okay.
This is twice as good as that.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing.
Which
it is unbelievable.
They're very talented, and it's very entertaining to watch. I love it, but
well,
I have no idea what 8K means.
Well, correct me if I'm
that
wrong, Joe,
good,
but the stuff that they put up there, in order to have it fit the entire board.
It needs to be 8K.
It has to be 8K,
yeah.
And it has to be shot with a
specific
cameras, camera.
Yeah, special equipment to
and,
work on it.
And they're doing that now.
Oh, yeah.
And it's awesome.
I believe it's, 7-to-1 aspect
we
ratio.
Had,
okay,
we
just
had,
stop. Stop.
Tony,
stop.
I know you love this jargon.
JP, you know we had Mr. Khan in here doing an interview, and he talked about the room up there where they run it from, and he goes, looks like you could launch a rocket from in there. I'm like, yeah, I guess it does.
Yeah, I bet.
There you have it.
So the Jags will.
That makes more sense. That's cool. Don't say what I don't even know what the words.
Aspect
use.
Ratio.
Yeah,
and
aspect ratio.
8K.
No, just stop,
Tony. Go to a Best Buy. You'll learn all this stuff. It's like right there.
JP.
Gosh. All right.
You,
we'll take
you
a
frustrate
time out.
Me more every day.
Great. That's my goal actually. Every day when I walk in the building, how am I going to bother Tony Baselli today? Kiss Game Day parking hassles goodbye with the JTA Stadium Shuttle. 5 convenient park and ride locations to choose from for Jags games. Tickets start at $7. For more information, visit jtafla.com. We'll look around the National Football League and pick some games in Week 3. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Check out Jack Hanania's Hyundai of Orange Park and Westside Hyundai. They have the over 500 vehicles, and every new Hyundai is backed by America's best warranty. Jaguars Thursday continues. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli. Final few moments.
Hey, one thing before we look around the league.
Okay.
The one area in this matchup this week that just has to be owned, dominated. The New England Patriots are starting and they're playing okay, but they're starting two rookies in the interior. They're starting David Andrews, an undrafted
interior
rookie
of the
Patriots offensive line.
Gotcha.
David Andrews was an undrafted center from the University of Georgia. He started both games. And 1 week, the opening week, they started Trey Jackson, Florida State rookie, who was a fourth-round pick. But last week, they had Josh Klein, who is a third-year player at right guard, and then they started Shaq Mason, another fourth-round pick guard from Georgia Tech at left guard. Now, the interior guys, whether it be Jared Odrick or Tyson Alualu or Avery Jones, Roy Miller, they need to be dominant in this game. Dominant, because Tom Brady's not moving a whole big distance at all.
Sure.
You know, when he drops back to pass, he might shuffle a couple steps here and there, and he's got great pocket presence. But he can't move as well as he used to. That needs to be, at the end of the game, you have to look back and say, boy, Roy Miller, Avery Jones, Tyson Alualu and Jared Odrick, when he's lined up in there, they were dominant.
Push him off the spot.
We had at the Senior Bowl this year on our team, and I went and coached with Gus and the staff, Shaq Mason and Trey Jackson were both on our team, so I got to coach those guys all week. And Shaq Mason's he's only 6'1", very powerful, but not great in pass pro. I think he'll get better. He played at Georgia Tech where they didn't pass much.
Yeah.
We should, if he's in the game, that's someone you have to win against.
Well, he started last week, yeah, at left guard.
You have to win against him one-on-one. He's a good, powerful guy now in the run game. He'll get after you a little bit. And Trey Jackson's a good player as well.
What's interesting, too, is that not many teams in the National Football League rotate linemen in. Offensive linemen. Everybody rotates defensive linemen. The Patriots rotate offensive linemen throughout the game. I mean, there's times where you have Marcus Cannon getting reps for Nate Solder. He's taking reps for Sebastian Vollmer. And I don't think that this was injury-related based on watching the film. I think that that's just what they do. They also rotated in Trey Jackson at one point last week. So they're rotating guys. And I'm sure it's like, you know, their opinion is that we need to get these young guys some experience in case we do have an injury that they're ready to go. But it's kind of unconventional. It's unconventional. And when they do that, make them pay.
Let's look around the National Football League in Week 3. We start with Thursday Night Football. The Redskins at 1-1 are in New York to face the 0-2 Tom Coughlin-led Giants. Who you got?
Well, that Washington defense is really good this year, and they're playing good football so far in the first 2 weeks. And Eli Manning just can't finish games. But with all that said, I just have a hard time seeing the Giants going 0-3.
Well, and the reason you're saying that is because it's Tom Coughlin coach football team.
Right.
But from watching the play of the Giants and seeing if Kirk Cousins can play mistake-free football, which is not very often, that Washington defense is pretty good. They got some good rushers on that team. But I'm baffled about Eli Manning. I mean, it's like, who's this guy playing quarterback, and where did all that experience go? Did he like have a head injury and then now he's lost it? Very confusing.
Yeah, I agree.
Same stadium, different team on Sunday. Eagles 0-2 at the Jets 2-0. Start for New York.
The New York Jets secondary is tremendous.
Their front seven's pretty dang good too.
But their secondary is allowing a tremendous front to be even better because they can send extra guys.
And the Eagles offensive line is awful right now. You look at, they can't run the ball. DeMarco Murray, I was looking at, it's
21
carries for 11 yards in two games.
Oof.
Not even point. It's
not
it's
even
under,
one.
It's under one. It's almost a half a yard per carry.
Cromartie, Darrell Revis, Buster Skrine.
I got the Jets.
I take the Jets.
I guess you both have the Jets, it sounds like. We'll get to the Jags, Patriots at the end. Falcons at the Cowboys, battle of 2-0 teams.
Yeah, and with a backup quarterback, Brandon Whedon for the Dallas Cowboys. Now, that's an interesting game. The Cowboys defense is doing really good, but the best Cowboys defense is a ball-controlling offense. I'm going to take the Falcons.
On the road.
Yeah, I like the Cowboys. I just like that defense right now. They're getting better. They're very well coached in Rod Marinelli, and I think with that offensive line, I think Brandon Whedon's going to be protected and be okay.
The Titans are tied for first place in the AFC South. They host the Colts, who are in last place in the division, 0-2.
Yeah, listen, I'm picking the Colts only because I can't see Andrew Luck and Luck having three stinkers in a row. He's going to figure it out. But the Colts right now, they're bad up front too. And Chuck Pagano basically threw a bomb at Ryan Grigson when they asked about Andrew Luck about handling the pressure, and he basically said he's been dealing for 3 years. I mean, the guy, the way they've built that team is mind-boggling. They've gotten older at skill positions. They used a first rounder on Philip Dorsett, who they don't need more receivers. They need offensive linemen. They need to protect. They need both lines fixed on the offensive defensive line, and they're not investing there. I think it's a poor job by Ryan Grigson.
I agree, and I agree with Tony. I think the Colts. I just can't see Andrew Luck. I mean, he's that good to where he can rise above some of the poor play up front. He's been doing it for a number of years now, and I think he does it this week.
How do you protect that investment, though?
How do you, not?
You got to protect that investment.
JP, I mean, you trade around. Any of us, and I did a radio show today in Boston, much like Tony did early in the week.
Did you make everybody mad?
And we were talking. No, I didn't make anybody mad. But we were talking about the Colts, and I said, if you're the owner of the Colts, Jim Irsay, and you're looking at a football team that has had incredible success over the last couple years, and you're trying to say, okay, if I've got a general manager and a coach that aren't coexisting well together, which one are you going to side with? The one that picked Andrew Luck and nobody else, or the coach that's been able to keep this team together for a number of seasons and to be better than they actually are personnel-wise?
Yeah, here's the problem, though. Chuck doesn't get to sit up in the owner's box and be whispering in the owner's ear all day because Jim Irsay, he has picked Grigson.
We'll see how that drama plays out. Let's pick the rest of these games. Raiders at the Browns without Manziel. McCown's a starter.
I mean, what a dumb choice. I mean, come on, everyone knows McCown is. Find out what you have in Johnny Manziel. It's one of the reasons the Browns never do anything.
I'm taking the Raiders.
I'm taking the Raiders, too, just because it bothers me that they
– I'm taking the Raiders, and the dysfunction in Cleveland continues.
Good Bengals team, 2-0. They're in Baltimore, and all of a sudden the Ravens are 0-2.
I'm picking an upset here. I'm taking the Ravens because that is an upset now. I mean, everybody's picking the Bengals.
Sure. Jeff, have you seen the Ravens try to play defense and cover people?
I know.
A.J. Green might have 300 yards himself.
He might.
NFC South game, the Saints winless in Carolina. They're 2-0.
Carolina, Drew Brees, they don't even know if he's in a place. He doesn't throw him this week unless he threw today at practice. I didn't hear the latest report. Bruised rotator cuff. On top of that, he's not playing well. They have no real weapons anymore. Getting rid of Jimmy Graham. Their average is long on defense. And Jameis Winston went into the dome where they've lost six straight games, the Saints, and beat them. I don't see them going to Carolina and winning a physical game because that's what Carolina's do. They're going to make it physical.
I don't either. I mean, if Drew Brees is not playing, there is a 0% chance that Luke McCown, even though he's got a TV commercial, okay, and I like the TV commercial. It's actually pretty good. But I don't see Luke McCown winning that game.
0%, says Jeff. Speaking of Jameis Winston, he's going in to face J.J. Watt in Houston, Bucks, Texans.
Listen, I don't think that Texans defense is very good outside of J.J. Watt, but I think the offensive line for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is worse. J.J. Watt might have 8 sacks. Unless they triple team them, I like the Houston to get off the schneid.
Yeah, Houston's going to win this one.
Chargers Vikings in Minnesota.
That's a tough one. You know what? I can't bet against Phillip Rivers. Even though it would be kind of trendy because Bridgewater's been pretty good and Adrian Peterson had a nice game last week, but I'll take Chargers.
Who you got?
Chargers.
Steelers Rams.
Steelers.
Tony.
Steelers by far on offense.
Niners at the Cardinals, who are playing well.
Cardinals. Might be one of the best teams in football.
Tony?
Cardinals.
Bills at Dolphins.
I'm taking Buffalo.
Wow. On the road.
Yeah, I'm taking Buffalo on the road.
Tony?
I'm going to go Dolphins.
Bears at Seahawks. Two winless teams.
But Bears ain't going to win.
Yeah, that's the easiest lock of the week.
I don't care who the Bears are playing. The Bears ain't going to win.
Sunday night, Broncos-Lions in Detroit.
That's a good one now. I mean, Matthew Stafford's banged up. I'm going to take the Lions.
I'm going to take Denver because they might have the best defense in football.
They do.
Monday night, Chiefs-Packers.
That's a great game. I'm going to take the Packers, though.
Packers.
Jags, Patriots. Can they get it done? Will they get it
done?
I'm
taking the Jaguars. Upset. Special of the week.
I'm going to be negative because I was negative last week and it worked. I'm going to the Patriots just because I want the Jags to win.
That's Tony Boselli, Jeff Loggeman for Joe Fortunato and everyone involved. This is JP Shadrick. Jaguars Patriots Sunday at 1 o'clock. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.